Hello, you listen to Six Music. I'm Russell Howard. This is my friend John.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right. Hey. You're doing your swearing thing again, aren't you?
Oh, that's good fun, isn't it? We get all the swears out and then we don't say them on the show. Now, there's very exciting news.
You've done two, though, haven't you?
Have I really?
Since we started.
Now, did I
Not
say
that
them?
I'm counting.
Really? What have I sworn about?
You've sworn twice.
When?
When you fell over in the studio, when you
stole my
bag. Oh, yeah,
let's not rake over old calls. Anyways, the exciting thing is, our normal producer isn't here.
You say normal.
Well, yeah. He's AWOL. No, yeah. Adam Hudson, who lots of people have emailed in that said that he looks a bit like an elf, and he kind of sort of lingers around me. He's not here. And he rang up, when was it, about 20 to 10?
Oh, after that, mate.
You took the call, John. What did he say?
He said, I don't know where I am.
He didn't know where he was at 20 to 10. So that's the exciting thing about the show. We have no producer. We're, Adam Dineen is stepping up to the plate. Still got his Hooters t-shirt on from
last week. In his last show.
In his last ever show.
It's as if it was planned.
It's fantastic, isn't it? So hopefully, as the show continues, we'll find Adam Hudson. He doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know where he's woken up. We know all that we know about Adam is that he's put his fingers down his throat to make himself sick. And yesterday it was Gay Pride. So somewhere lies Adam Hudson. He doesn't know where he is. In the 15 minutes since we spoke to him, first of all, he went, I don't know where I am. 15 minutes later, he ran back. Any idea? No. So that's a tough 15 minutes he's had.
Yeah, he was asking what the weather was like where we were, which is never a good sign, is it?
What's the weather like where you are?
Yeah.
Wow. So if anyone knows where Adam Hudson is, text on 64046. Or email russell.6music.
Spotted.
BBC.co.uk, exactly. Or text or email us in with the weirdest places you've ever woken up and the quest and the trousers.
Well, that's a good one.
It's not
but
nice
you're
one.
Good, aren't you?
Where's the weirdest place you've woken up? This will be good. In a library. Oh, the organisation skills.
Do you know, I don't think I ever have done a weird one. I'm very in control.
My friend Al once woke up in a river.
Right, that's pretty good.
Well, he was a massive alcoholic at the time. And,
right.
That's when he realised...
Are you looking at me when you say that?
I wasn't, mate.
I haven't had a drink this morning. That's just tea.
But yeah, what a great story. He just came to, like, the way he told it was fantastic. Yeah, it was in a bit of a bad way there in the mid-90s, and I remember one morning I just woke up in a river and just remember thinking, God, that's wet, and I thought he was a dog licking me, and then I thought, that's a bloody big dog. And he was just in a river. Imagine that. You'd quit booze, wouldn't you, if you're in a river?
If I was in a river, yeah, probably. Well, for a day. I'd have a day off.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't drink for a day. I woke up on the floor once with my feet on the couch and my coat zipped up to my face.
Really?
Yeah, but that's the weirdest one.
What had happened?
I just had a lot to drink. I had to walk home on my own. My mate started making cheese on toast and I threw up.
All right.
Nothing like the sight of big, greasy slabs of cheese melting. And you know, water comes out of it when it melts. Oh, never forget this. Oh, oof.
Oh, I've just remembered the weirdest place I've woken up. This is probably weird. It was quite hot at the time, so it isn't as odd as it sounds. But I sort of slept with my feet in the wheelie bin where I used to live. And my nan found me in the morning.
Right.
So I couldn't. She's quite deaf, my nan and granddad. So I was ringing the doorbell at like 2 a.m. trying to get them to let me in. And then they came out and found me in the bin.
Of course you did. So you thought, can't get in, I'll sleep in the bin.
Yeah, exactly. But it was at that stage. I was about 16 and I was like, I'll sleep in the bin, that's all right. Because I was worried that, you know, people were going to attack me and stuff like that if
of
I led
course.
Out.
Of course.
Exactly, you know, prime crime candidate.
Yeah, voles.
Yeah, exactly. Vole rape. That's all over the country. You've been raped by a vole, have I? So I led
But they can't get in wheelie bins.
Yeah, but see if you can beat that. So I woke up in a bin and John woke up with a cagoule on. Who was that bloke you were just doing an impression of? It was very good. The bloke off
Kevin Nolan from Five Live.
Angry man, isn't he?
Oh, very angry man. Very angry man.
Do you want to tell us the story? Oh, I'm going to carry on talking. I'm going to burp. And that's bad radio.
You know I never talk when I know you're going to burp because it's funny.
Oh, come on, John.
Go on. Slap him on the back, Adam. Let's get it. Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, well, I said I was
that happens when you bring a big yoghurt into the studio, yeah. Innit? I had my breakfast upstairs.
Oh,
not
don't
you.
Show off. You're like a child.
I had my breakfast earlier.
Snuffling goodies into the studio as if you haven't spilt tea in the last week. Now you're bringing in liquid foods.
Oh, yoghurt's not going to fall down. I know where that's going. Straight to my mouth. It's
yeah, right.
Have we had any texting yet about where people have woken up? Weird places. We haven't really. It's quite. Oh, we have. Someone's put Brighton, which is quite nice. I had to sleep in my car last night as my wife, Cara, accidentally locked me out in the house.
Now, accidentally.
Yeah, exactly.
Divorce.
He says, John, not for that. I'll be fine. He feels like crap, apparently. Christ, she owes me now, though. And then it says something about, Steve Evans. Oh, Steve Evans in Brighton.
says something about his name. What a weird way to end an email.
Yeah, my friend Pablo woke up in a bush at the side of a motorway with no shoes. To this day, nobody knows how he got there. Love, Julie. That's fantastic.
Pablo.
It's something quite scary about seeing a man with no shoes. Ladies, you know, very often take the shoes off heels and all
oh,
that.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh, of course you do.
There aren't rubbing their feet all over the seats on a train.
Yeah, there you go. There aren't many things you don't hate, in fairness.
This is true.
This is true. John had the gall upstairs earlier. You were complaining about a lady who was talking about the ordeal she'd been through for the Glasgow terrorists.
Oh, yeah, she was talking about how she'd been in the airport when the car drove in.
Right.
And she's clearly doing an interview on Five Live. I'm not like, she's a very dull woman. She should be delighted to be on Five Live. Every question Bako asks her, big tot and a sigh. So you were at the airport? Yeah, I was, yeah. And what did you see? Oh, these guys drove a car into the thing, you know. And were there police there? Oh, yeah, there was police squad. Well, just go away then. We'll ask someone else who's exciting. I'd rather listen to someone who's got something to say who wasn't there than some dull, whining mule.
She might have been quite a big, husky woman. And right. She wasn't sighing, but every time... You know, one of those people who are very fat. That
no, it was different. It's a different sound. There's a...
No. When you, how's your day been?
Yeah. You know. No, this was a tot. It was preceded by a tot, and only women can tot loud. Me and my sister, when we used to argue when I was growing up, it didn't matter what room she was in, you can hear a tot through walls.
Well, imagine the arguments you used to have with your sister. Hey, who's been near my pens? Is it you? Is it? I bet they weren't sort of normal kind of brotherly sister.
I think they were. She once locked me out of the house for making too much noise. Had smashed our front door, so I just smashed it again, climbed back in. That was our most heated debate. Me and my mate Lee were making noise, and she chucked us out, locked us out. So I kicked the door in.
Exactly.
Can't keep a good man down.
Mess with that. That's the biggest...
It was very Bruce Willis.
That's the... It sounds it.
Except I had a 5-4-3-2-1 jumper on instead of a vest.
And that's the biggest argument you had. You kicked a door.
I kicked a door in, mate.
And then probably fixed it.
Stand back, I said.
Yeah, exactly. Stand back, kick it. I'll pay for the damage. I realise what I've done. I've been a fool.
And I've knackered me puma disc.
What?
I had puma discs back
in
those days.
Did you? Doing all right for yourself?
I was doing all right for myself.
How old were you when you had them?
Don't know. How old? 13, 14.
Well, doing very well for yourself.
Yeah.
What daps did you have at school? Did you have the...
Daps. That's such a Southwest thing, daps.
Oh, what did you call them?
Shoes.
Friggers.
Trainers. Frickers.
Did you have the...
Check out my new friggers.
But which ones did you have? Did you have the Dunlop Green Flash?
Pumps. I was never into pumps.
Pumps!
A pump.
Did you have a bottle of pop on the way home? Did you tickle a ferret, did you? I had the black daps, the horrible...
Yeah, that's what we had. But only for PE. You didn't used to wear them about.
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, you
proper scummer, yeah, but proper, like, me and my brother had black daps walking around like
ballet
dancers.
I was chatting to your brother this week about what a bully you were at school.
What?
Oh, and here's a little bit of bullying I noticed in the paper. Driving into London for a very important executive meeting this week, like I do, opens up my metro, whose face is staring out at me. It's only Russell Howard.
Right, let's, I haven't been informed.
We met at a gig in Bristol, he explains, when quizzed on their love-hate relationship.
What are you talking
about? Is you and me. This is what it says in the metro this week. Doing slightly rude impersonations of his Six Music co-host and close friend John Richardson.
Yeah.
We met at a gig, blah, blah, blah. John used to bring fruit to the gigs.
Well, what's false so far? We do have a love-hate relationship.
You didn't used to bring fruit to the gigs, like a fruit basket.
You want a mango? Please love me.
I've got no jokes. Would anyone like a grape? I brought a banana for a joke I used to do. No, it was a joke, because the pub was called The Bunch of Grapes, and I used to go, oh, look, here's me at The Bunch of Grapes with the brunch of apes. Yeah. It was a terrible joke, but yeah. I was new.
Lovely bananas.
He offered me a banana, so I took it. Right? 3 years later, he said, brackets, adopt squeaky northern accent.
Lovely.
I never wanted you to have that banana, so that's our relationship. I do things, and then a couple of years later, he has a go at me about it.
Well, there you go, that's a fair point.
Right.
Yeah?
Well, you better get ready for a volley in 2 years' time, mate.
Okie dokie. Well, I should probably give you a bit of a heads up. I have told a story about you for the British Airways magazine.
Right. Go on.
No, that's all I'm saying. Yoghurt gives you a bit of gas, I've learned
it
that
does
much.
When you eat it off a ladle.
Oh my god.
How much yoghurt do you want? That's eat a lot of yoghurt.
Oh, that's the best yoghurt. That's the best yoghurt I've ever had.
Really? Well, I'm glad I was there to see it.
Oh, very nice indeed.
Not just yoghurt though, was it? It had bits in it.
It did, John, yeah.
Bits of fruit and oats.
That's right. Next week on Yoghurt Watch. It's a bit of
blueberry.
I hope you're very well. You're listening to Six Music with me and John.
What have we got coming up today, Russell?
Hey, I'll tell you what we've got. My fellow podcast prince.
Oh, yeah.
We've got The Transporter, which is where people select a tune that reminds them of yesteryear.
Special times.
Special times. We've also got the big quiz on radio, Russell Howard's news quiz.
New developments on the quiz this week.
Well, John rang me up and went, "Hey, listen to this!" And then swore at me. And I went, "Okay." And then
and you said, "Sorry, man, I'm just doing some business."
I said, "Listen,
is this appropriate?
Can you call back? I'm eating a Ferrero Rocher." But John said it'd be a really good idea, primarily because I've lost every week. The whole point was that I was going to test you.
4-0 down you are.
If you haven't listened to the show before, basically, I do a news quiz where I have questions whether they're true or false. Last week, I asked whether or not Mariah Carey dreamt of butterflies. I've no idea. It was false. John said it was false. He got the point. I'm 4-0 down. So this week we're going to do it with somebody, a listener.
Are we?
No, John. So if you want to basically text in if you'd like to play the news quiz, I don't know how we go about it. But you can play against John, although I warn you, he's
very
wise.
We'll go head to head.
Absolutely. But tell him your credentials first.
Well, I'm 4-0 up.
And?
I'm a very learned man. Tell him about your Jesus. 5 A stars, 3 A's.
Yep.
3 A's at A level.
Yep.
A bit of a degree. A sort of suggestion of a degree.
Tell them about the poems you write around your house.
Oh, we've got our poems to read out today as well from last week.
Yeah, what's yours about again?
I was asked to write a poem called Monkey the Fun Duster.
Lovely.
And you were asked to write a poem called Daddy or Chips.
Well, we're looking forward to that.
Talking
of places, weird places where people have woken up, someone, Small Paul, has texted in saying, "My mate Nigel Thompson woke up on a traffic roundabout in Spain during rush hour. Nice. My brother once, this is a horrible story, desperate for a slash, and my dad didn't want to stop, and very angrily suddenly pulled over in Spain and forced my brother to run across the motorway and then have a wee in a bush."
Ayúdame, estoy emborrachada en la redonda.
That's Spanish. You know what that means? That's Spanish for in that bush, animal.
It means please help me, I'm drunk on a roundabout.
Lovely. Somebody here woke up in a field miles from home, surrounded by sheep after a heavy night. Unfortunately, he'd done a number two in his new trousers. So, from Justin in Grafton. Well done, Justin. There's another one from Justin, Jesus, who also woke up in a ditch with a bike on top of me near Belton Golf Course.
Got a problem.
He woke up at 6 a.m, warm and hungover, and he went back to sleep. Lovely touch. He's like a Donnie Darko in the Grantham area. Someone here, oh, this is great. Steph, I once woke up in a tree and had no idea how I got up there. That's fantastic. It's like that Ben Fold song. The guy who
woke up in a tree and didn't know how he got there.
No, he went up. He took some mushrooms, went up in a tree, and then found God, came down at the end of the party and became a born-again Christian. And my uncle's mate, Merlin, did a similar thing.
Of course he did.
But he found a rat, and he's been mates with that rat ever since. Literally, this
scabbers.
That's disgusting thing that like, you see. You can see
physicals.
Its tail all down its back. It's horrible. Where, have you got emails?
Yeah, Dredge, which is, you know, you're going to get a good alcoholic story off of Dredge.
Dredgenator.
I was woke up. Cracking start to the email. Yeah. I was woke up in a strange flat surrounded by strange people I don't remember meeting. I left, wandered around in Reading, which is strange enough, but for some reason, as I passed a butcher's, then felt compelled to buy 3 wood pigeon and 11 pounds of sausages. Something I didn't realise until I opened the fridge after a kip and saw what looked like 3 small dark chickens.
Ugh.
Many years ago, I travelled down to London after work to Brighton to see my girlfriend, who it transpired was knocking someone else off.
I haven't heard that phrase for ages.
No. After a bit of a row, she kicked me out and had to sleep under Brighton Pier. I woke up feeling very salty and rather dejected. All's okay now, though. Cheers, Tim in Wallington.
He met a mermaid. someone here, I woke up with a cat on my chest. Not the best thing to happen after having a dream where I was being crushed by a bus. I once woke up in a ditch full of stinging nettles, 5 miles away from where I'd fallen asleep on the bonnet of a car. I'd been on the Special Brew and White Lightning snake bite, which I would advise listeners not to try on a school night. That's from Nick in Haringey. I think we've really stumbled upon a lot of
alcoholics.
Yeah. Nice, though.
I was once roused by a fellow youth hosteler to find myself on the communal kitchen floor beneath a cooker and a flaming pot of baked beans, Barry.
Wow.
I think he means baked beans, and that's from Barry, but there's no punctuation. Well, so he might have got a mate called Baked Beans Barry and set fire to him on the oven.
Right, we're going to do the news quiz, which is the, you know...
3 songs I've sung today.
Have you? Mm. What was the first and second?
I can't remember. I did one before, and I had a right go at Unforgettable on the toilet before the show.
Unforgettable on the toilet.
Yeah, I was singing Frank Sinatra. It's cracking acoustics in that toilet.
We've all had excellent number twos, John, but that's pretty weird. How bizarre. Oh, that's a weird song to sing. Because it sounds like you're singing it to your sort of, you know...
I'm not.
...semi-naked state.
Right, no.
To fecal matter that's tumbled out of you. Terrific. Now...
Oh, near or far.
Stop it. Now, the news quiz, we have somebody to play. We were originally... have we got Callum on the line?
Hello.
Hello, Callum. Oh, how are you? You well?
I'm not bad, thank you. Yes, you?
Yeah, I'm very well indeed. What are your credentials, Callum? What's your job?
I work at the airport.
Oh, oh, tough times. Controversial times.
Which airport?
Aberdeen.
Ah, Aberdeen Dice.
You'll be picking up a lot of trade, I imagine. Edinburgh's very busy as a result.
Well, I'm not sure about Aberdeen because it's still pretty far away, but...
Oh, in your face, John. 1-0 Callum.
That doesn't count as a point.
It's a slammy.
Yeah, a carbon footprint, 1-1.
No, he doesn't, you know, because he drives there, I presume, Callum. You drive to the airport?
I do, yeah, but we just built a new departure. This is so fucking...
It's all right, it's fine, no. We apologise for the swearing, but hey, we all do it from time to time.
It's so sad, but we just built a new departure lounge, which is much bigger than the old one, and it has the same carbon footprint.
Oh, never mind. You're still 1-1 with John Richardson. Now, let's just get into it. So it's true or false. I'll come to you both separately. Here we go. The first question. Nicky Wire loves hoovering. I like making my house real tidy. It gives me great pleasure, he said. Is that true or false?
To who?
That's to Callum first.
I'd go for true.
I'm going for false.
False. It is true. 1-0 Callum.
You're just cheating.
Right in the pain. True. Right
he never said it feels real good or whatever you said.
He might not have said that.
Oh, so the quote's wrong.
Hoovering.
So the quote's wrong.
Back off, John. Callum.
Oh, Callum. What is the
well
point?
Done. Well done,
what
Callum.
What is the point?
Here's another one, Callum. This is right up your alley. A hard up British Airways worker slept in a work store cupboard for nearly 8 months. True or false? Callum, true or false?
True.
True, says Callum.
As if it matters. False.
False, says John. 2-0, Callum. Well done. This is fantastic. Right, third one. Saddam Hussein was a massive fan of 24.
Oh, that's obviously false.
False. It is false. He prefers Alias. LL Cool J regularly dreams about cornflakes. I can't get them
false.
Down.
False.
Let me finish the question, please.
No.
I can't get them
we
down.
We both said false.
I can't
don't get... do your funny quote.
Right.
Is it false?
No, it's true.
Rubbish.
It's false. A German woman has been nicknamed...
False.
No. Wait. A German woman has been nicknamed the Bavarian Robin Hood after she started stealing luxury foods and giving them to homeless people. True or false?
True.
Callum says true.
That's true, but it's a very old story.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Well, it is.
It was in the news this week.
Well, it happened ages ago.
Well, she's doing it again.
All right, then. True.
Okay, so what are the scores thus far?
3-0.
3-0, okay.
I've scored 2. I got 2, didn't I?
Yeah, but he's got 3 more than you, basically.
That's a fair point, yeah. Fife, next question. You're doing very well. John, stop it. Fife from the Guillemots used to work at Bird World in Farnham.
True.
False.
It is false. John comes back. Richard Fairbrass from Right Said Fred has indicated that their smash hit, I'm Too Sexy, was devised after he heard a pensioner whistling the tune at a post office.
False.
True.
It is false, unfortunately, Callum. Close, I can believe it as well.
You're going down, Callum.
It's very close now. A man climbed into Melbourne Zoo recently and read the Beano to free lions and survived. True or false?
True.
True, false. Says John. False. It is false. He didn't read the Beano. It was the Bible. And he did survive. The final question is...
similar magazines.
Kilt wearers in Scotland could face prosecution if they don't have a licence for their sporran under new legislation. True or false?
True.
That's true, yeah.
It is. You're both true. So that's the end of it. What are the final scores? 4-3 in favour of Callum. Callum wins.
Well, no, because this all comes down...
Yeah!
Well done, Callum. We're all very pleased for you. But this goes back to the first question,
yeah,
which was clearly you made up a quote,
no,
which is false, which means the question is false.
Hey, Callum's on.
Unbelievable.
Callum, we haven't got any prizes specifically, but John will give you his belt and send it to you in the post. Is that right? What would you like? We'll get you a gift, up to £5 on eBay. Anything you want.
Anything, it's up to you, surprise me.
Oh, lovely stuff. Well, give us your address after this and we'll send it up to you. Now,
well done, Callum. All lies, your quiz, all lies. No. How am I supposed to win if it's lies?
It's not. Well, it's been lies thus far.
You call it the news quiz. You might as well call it second guess a lying fool.
Why don't you go sing a song to your poo? Jesus, like you've been...
Read that text. Read it out loud with your mouth.
Hey, Ross, great gig in Worcester.
No, not that one.
Okay. As the guy in the Scottish government who spent two whole days dealing with that ridiculous sporran story, can I just say that it's false? Well, it doesn't matter because you both said it was true anyway.
It undermined the quiz.
No, it doesn't.
But like if William G. Stewart, it panned out and he had no pants on. You just think, well, I've lost a bit of respect for 15 to 1 now.
All right.
I've lost a lot of respect for you. Put your pants back on. Yeah, and the first question was a lie, and the last question was a lie. Hey, Russell and John, so I win. Sorry, Callum, you still get your gift, but if you're listening,
you know,
now you're off air. No, I won, really.
But that only makes it a draw.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does because
that's
he won
a two. That's
three.
A 2-point swing.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's because he loses a point and I gain a point.
No.
So therefore, it's a 2-point swing.
No. Right, you've lost.
Now you're just disagreeing.
Man, because you've
Go
lost.
On.
What are you? I don't understand. I don't understand where this anger has come from just because you've lost.
I just don't like being cheated out of games. I don't mind being beaten.
You're still a very intelligent man and I have a tremendous amount of respect for you. Yes, I will eat that manga.
Hello, Russell and John. Me and my friends wanted to come and see you last night, Russell, in the New Forest, but my other mate, Tony, was having a birthday party, so we couldn't come.
Fair enough, go to a party.
However, we're all sat here now listening to you and John.
Yeah.
Wake us up from our rather mad night.
Yeah.
All of us girls think you two are rather tasty.
Really?
The boys think you're hilarious, apart from my mate Harry, who's in the closet, who thinks you're fit as well. We're going to both see you as soon as possible. Sorry if we've scared you a bit, and sorry for the faces. And there's lots of text faces with colons and D's and stuff.
Right.
And that's from Bobby, Tony, Megan, Lucy, Carly, Livy, Ellie, Harry, Ali and Ash.
Wow.
And there's a parade of kisses there, and
lovely.
There's someone in the studio in very much need of them.
Yeah,
gang, I don't really.
Bang! Imagine that. How great is that? It's about eight people sat around in a room listening to us.
Yeah, on a DAB digital radio.
Lovely stuff. You listen to Six Music. Listen to this. This is what we were talking about, where the weirdest people, the weirdest places that people have woken up.
For no reason, we just happened to be chatting
about it.
Just chatting about it. Just cropped up, didn't it?
Now, somebody here, Andy in Bristol, said, I woke up at a Meatloaf concert on Friday at Ashton Gate. To be honest, it was the tubby warbler that sent me to sleep in the first place. I was woken by someone's grandmother gyrating next to me. It was not nice.
How do you fall asleep at a Meatloaf concert?
Dunno, just didn't enjoy the loaf.
Big wobbly face in
this
your
a,
face.
This is a great one. My mate Mike once woke up in the computer room of Eton School. Unfortunately, I have no other details, but don't think he does either. What a scoundrel. That's a proper scoundrel. Woke up in the bloody computer room in Eton. Before I know it, left a virus and just got out of jam. So this is really great. This is a weird story. This is a kind of a text I can imagine you texting in if you weren't on radio. So I'm going to do it in your voice.
I have a particular tree in Edinburgh that I like to sleep in on drunken nights. My life is similar to that of Dumbo's.
But that's from Eden in Woodstock. This is a really cool text. I was going to swear then. Rachel fell asleep on the last train out of Tokyo, woke up 70 kilometres from her home station, had to wait 4 hours for the morning train home. It was rainy season. How cool's that?
I didn't know they didn't have any more trains coming out of Tokyo.
No.
How are they going to get about?
I don't know, John.
They need to travel.
That's a fair point.
In a deck chair in the middle of a country lane.
Oh.
In the darkness of the previous night, we decided it would be a good spot to watch the sun come up. Love to your mothers, Chris Gilliam.
Trouble is, it's a good idea, but then you run the risk of badgers and stuff like that. Vicious animals.
He's put at the end of his email, he's put, at work in Lutterworth, would prefer to be in bed with the wife. Sorry, she's with someone else.
There you go.
She isn't.
Look at that. That's the first time John's anger's truly come out. What if she is now?
Well, then it's the best that he knows.
What?
Honestly, it's best that he knows. I hope you didn't sign a prenup. She's getting nothing.
Oh my god, it's like a really angry edition of what's that Take a Break magazine that you're on about?
Oh, how am I going to know that?
What are you?
I don't deal in the realm of Take a Break. Ask me about War and Peace.
All right, what's
have you read it? No.
Yeah, exactly.
End of quiz.
There was an impromptu Laura.
Mark Lawrence should burst into the studio at some point.
But he's known to do that. That's the thing with Laura.
Suppose you pays your money, you takes your chance.
Exactly.
Never a truer word said.
Exactly.
Oh, we had an email about Mark Lawrence and I lost it. Someone talking about... Because there's no match of the day at the moment, so we don't get any sort of Loro quotes of the week.
Because we had an idea that on the train the other day, what we'd really like to do, if Laura listens to the show, how great would it be to get Laura to do reports on films, like film reviews, just really quickly, but then he describes them in the style of a footballer.
Yeah.
So we had this idea of going, watch that Hostel the other day. Nicky Bambi. And then that's it. And we just thought that would be really great. So we're either going to try and get Laura to do them, or somebody who can do a good Laura impression.
Yeah, I think you'd get Laura. He surely
would
listens.
He do it though?
I've spoken to him, so he must.
He's spoken to him once.
I'd love to think he would.
Yeah, but that, the only reason he rang up to the show is because he thought I was, you know, I was terminal. Let's be honest.
Dyad for Philemon Masinga. So Nick emailed in, he said, morning lads, given your love for Laura, I feel the need to inform you of the most cringeworthy TV moment of the year. Last match of the day of the season, talking about Patrick Berger earning a new contract at Aston Villa, Lawrenson quips, coming soon to a barbecue near you.
Oh, lovely stuff.
2 seconds of dead air before Lineker laughed nervously and said, that's terrible. No sound or video clip exists of this moment, but it made me squirm in my chair uncontrollably. He's a legend.
He certainly is. Porky's Eric Cantona. It would be great.
Schoolgirl Sex Energy 7. Diego Maradona.
Right. Oh, that was the other one as well. Bambi, Pele, Endo. Adam Dineen has just handed me a lovely present because I've just recently moved into Bath. So I'm going to open this up live on air. I hope it's not.
It's your housewarming present.
My housewarming present.
And another thank you. I think we brushed over. We got some gifts last week from James. Oh, we didn't really mention it. Very nice. Thank you very much.
It's, lovely stuff. It's The Social Behaviour of Monkeys by Thelma Rowell. That, well, phenomenal book.
Penguin classic.
That is an absolute belter. And they've drawn in, it's because it's a black and white book, but someone very kindly has drawn in the red on the monkey's anus on the back. Lovely stuff. Right. Oh, and on the front as well, and they're chasing each other and touching them. Lovely. That's a phenomenal book. Thank you very much, Adam. And we thought, since it's Adam's final show with us, that we'd get him a little gift. So we've got you a gift on air. I know it's a bit corny, but just to thank you
it's
for all you've done.
Really professionally.
Now, that's the first gift we got you. That's
quite delicate.
It's for the people listening at home. We've wrapped it in a Morrison's bag.
Not just a Morrison's bag, Russell.
Oh, there's another bag within it, which is
an Asda carrier bag.
Yeah. Two levels of social. Here we go, and we've given you a glass. Now, see, I toyed with the idea. I said to John, we should write in Tippex on the side of that the Deneninator.
Yeah,
and he went mental.
Health
at me.
You don't do that. Yeah, he's not going to enjoy his mead.
And someone to put in it.
And there you go. We got you some Jack Daniels to put in it, although you can have other whiskies. But
not in the studio.
That's just to say thank you for everything you've done to us. Done to us, done for us. Oh, that's a mistake.
Yeah. Here's a bottle of booze for everything you've done to us. Just please don't make the bad times come round again.
What a silly thing to say. Never mind. But yes, thanks
the
very much.
The crying game. Oh, no.
It would be great. We're having some fun. We're taking photos of a friend of ours who's arrived at the studio. If you've been listening to the show, you know who he is. We can't say it.
We already have.
All right, it's Adam Hudson. He's our producer. He's asleep on the floor. He's passed out. There's drool near him. We've taken photos. There is talk of playing human buckaroo with him. He's asleep. And we're going to see what we can try and put on him as the show continues.
Yeah.
Now, it's poem time, isn't it, John?
Yeah.
I was reading lots of poems out last week. I don't really know why, but I just got into it. And John suggested that we should write some poems. We're going to try and do it every week.
Yeah.
You set me the task of writing Daddy or Chips.
Yes, Daddy or Chips. Emotional moment. What do you talk about? Your father, your relationship with your dad. Read some Seamus Heaney, do some research.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Pretty serious stuff. Yep. Pretty heavy topic.
I'm pretty sure these are poems.
I'm sure you've tackled it with the gravitas I expect.
Now, these are my poems. Daddy or Chips, right? Here we go. I don't need. John needs classical music for his. I don't need it for mine. Very different.
Why don't you need it?
Because mine are different. My poems say a lot about me. They aren't really desperately deep. They don't really go on. They're quite short.
Are you going to make me look like an idiot doing jokes?
They're not jokes. They sort of are. Right, but you know it's difficult. What do you do? It's a poem called Daddy or Chips. This is what I've got for you, John.
Go on.
Here we go.
Knock me out.
Daddy or Chips? Said Jemima. Oh, no, I'm not going to read that one. No, this is my first one. Daddy or Chips, said Mum, grinning. It was the last meal Mum served before she was taken to prison. That's the first one. That's Daddy or Chips.
Right. I'm not entirely sure that's a poem.
It is. It's fine.
I think that's a joke.
No, that's fine. Let's the other one here. Daddy or Chips? Daddy, please, said Angus. Daddy on red. The roulette wheel span around and landed on black. Crap, thought Angus, as the croupier popped his dad down his chute. Where's Dad? Said Mum to Angus. He left you for another woman. What a bastard, said Mum. Yeah, said Angus. Yeah.
It doesn't rhyme.
No, it doesn't need to.
There's no emotional contact.
No, but he's gone to a weird
casino. Have you not got your Niab anthology?
Oh, stop it. This is another belter. Daddy or Chip, said Jemima. Chip, said Ben. Wrong answer, said Jemima, and filled him full of lead. That's another cracker. Daddy or Chips, said the sweating woman. One of those will do. You don't want to consider any other name for your newborn child. No, she screamed. Pick one of those two now. So I went for Chips, took off my gloves and went to play tennis. Those
are not poems, and now I look like an idiot.
No, 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 it's fine. Daddy,
crying I was, drinking red wine.
Daddy or Chips, neither. He abused me and I'm on the Atkins. That's another... Right, I've done some of yours. Monkey the Fun Duster. Here's some other belters. Because that was John's poem. It was called Monkey the Fun Duster. So here they are. I am Monkey the Fun Duster, cried Sally. It was clear to everyone that loved her that she was drinking bleach again. That's the first one.
Jokes.
It's fine, right? I quite like this. Probably my favourite. Monkey the Fun Duster. No, Colin, the teacher sighed. Christopher Columbus discovered America. Colin hated school. That's one of my favourites. And the last poem. Your name is Monkey the Fun Duster, said the bouncer. At this moment, Derek realised he hadn't taken enough care over his fake ID.
Right. Those well, are now poems. I'm going to look like quite the fool.
Right.
Do you want to cue up my music?
Lovely.
Monkey the Fun Duster by John Richardson, age 24 and a half. It starts with a tingle, way up inside one nostril, an Icarus sneeze that flew too high. What follows is an urge to skip, or you might just giggle but not know why. Some think it's just a sugar rush, others think it's fairies. From gods to guardian angels, though, the reason always varies. Mere posturing I can reveal, for of the truth we can be so much prouder. It's cheekier, you see, and furrier, a simian with magic powder. He spreads the sediment of satisfaction with the hairy-backed hands of fate. To put things in a simpler fashion, he puts the mate back in primate. With no knowledge of who or what or why, you innocently inhale.
He's lost it.
The magic mist inside you now, you'll chuckle without fail. A giddy high will come along and it might seem to you at random, but happiness and chimpanzees, they always go in tandem. I regret you'll never see his face, for he always walks behind. But there's no need to be afraid, will you shut up? Everything he does is kind. That he will never feel a hug or hear your thanks is such a pity. But no sooner do you know he's been than he's in another city. Do call out, though, if you think he's near. It's always worth a try. You might just hit the jackpot and share the same success as I. Who goes there? I cried into the darkness. The only reply that he could muster was, I'm everything you'll ever need, my friend. I'm Monkey the Fun Duster. And so I smiled and went to sleep. And that's not a joke, is it?
I don't know how to stop. No, it's not a joke, no.
Do you want to read another one of your funny ones?
No, not really.
Unbelievable.
They seem a bit silly now.
Yeah.
Daddy or Chips? Okay, Daddy, I choose Daddy. He jumped. God, he was deaf.
Text and emails coming in 64046. I'm pretty sure Russell is more blonde and ditzy than me. Your poem was lovely, John, from Charlotte.
Keep them. Keep
Ross,
them.
We love you, but those weren't poems.
They were.
Well done, on. John, Vic and Kim.
Come on, you're just getting marks for effort now.
Yeah, that's what the world is about, mate. That's what society's evolved for. Cavemen didn't get marks for effort, and they died out. Look at them.
I didn't know we were allowed to put tunes over the top. I mean, my poems would work better if I had that music.
Your poems would have been better if you'd had
hey!
At the end of them, and that was it. Nah. We were on about Monkey Forest the other week while we're talking about monkeys.
Yeah.
Email coming in. Loving the show. Heard the magical wonder of Monkey Forest near Stoke on your show. Yeah. In hearing of it, I'm sure I've dreamt of it before and told a mate that we should go. Drove over an hour on Monday to go there. Got to a gate saying, due to flooding, Monkey Forest has been closed. I nearly cried at the pain of having my dreams crushed.
Don't
and
cry.
I should warn listeners that
don't
if you
cry.
Plan to go, ring ahead.
Exactly. Don't cry, you're added to the flood.
Yeah, but what if the monkeys have drowned?
Oh, you sound like Richard Pryor then. That was fantastic. Have you seen that? Oh, it was a brilliant bit. If you haven't seen it, I'm not sure which one it is. I think it's Live at Sunset Strip. But from nowhere, he does this phenomenal conversation where one of his monkeys died because his mates left the gas on and they drowned. And he has this conversation with an imaginary dog that's leapt over his garden. And it's just beautiful. Go and listen to it. I'm not going to repeat it, but it's fantastic. What are we going to do? We're going to try and do the transporter later, aren't we?
We have got a transporter track in today's show, yes.
And you know, let's just have a bit of a chat, John. We've got to trail Stephen Merchant, who we had a bit of a chat with with last week. We got on with him very well.
Yeah, except you've done bad things to his studio.
Right,
are we wrapping up naughty people? Who've woken up in naughty places.
Oh, yeah, read us a few of them.
I woke up under my desk at McGill University in Montreal.
Right.
Too drunk to find my way home, but managed to stagger into work and swiped myself into the building. In the morning, everyone thought I was the keen one because I was the first person there, even though I looked like blank and smelled like puke.
Really?
McGill University, listeners all over the world. And his email address has GameRes, which is a game company. They're all over the papers at the moment, aren't they?
Why?
Well, games are bad.
What?
Everyone's killing everyone because they played, like, Mario Kart.
Well, that's a fair point.
So it says in the news.
That's a fair point. Hitler, massive fan of Tetris. let's have a bit of Jesus and Mary strain after... He enjoyed that, didn't he, John?
Well, I was just thinking of an add-on, but I can't do it because it's radio. But in my head, it was a joke, and in my head, it was funny.
We're still keeping this thing going about strange places you've woken up. We've had one here, a text in. My friend Neil, who no longer drinks, woke up in a park in Reading on the morning after the night of the 1987 hurricane. He was surrounded by fallen tree, health and safety, they put in brackets, John, and found a used Durex in his pocket. He had no idea how either had arrived.
Oh, in his pocket.
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe he'd been shagged.
I'm tight, but never keep him.
Maybe he'd been shagged by an ent. You never know. That's a DVD extra in Lord of the Rings.
Is it?
Yeah, this is a horrific scene.
The Ents are going to war. Yeah, exactly. But first...
Bam, bam, bam. Oh, look at the bark on that.
Burst the banks, release my beast.
He has no power now. What did you do to him? Check his pockets. Saruman's got to use Johnny in there. You burn one of my trees and I'll do you.
Talk about the White Wizard.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello, Russell and John, moving swiftly on. While at university, I woke up one day and it gently occurred to me that the shelves I was looking at weren't my own.
Dun,
in quick
dun,
succession,
dun.
I realised three things. Firstly, that I'd been on a date the night before. Second, there was another person in the bed. Thirdly, I was completely naked except for my jewellery. Always take your rings off. The only memory I had, health and safety.
For what?
Well, what if it gets all passionate and you're flailing your arms about banging someone's eye out?
What if you missed the tea?
Oh, well, no. He don't drink anyway, his surname's Total. My only memory
Wait a minute. So you're saying before you engage in a bit of...
Yeah, you don't want... You'd never metal in the bed.
Oh,
beds are soft,
God,
squidgy places.
What are you
places.
Talking about?
The minute you're putting anything sharp in your bed, you're asking for trouble.
It's a good job that you are not a lady and never had a relationship.
It is a good job I'm not a lady.
It's a good job you're not a lady and never had a relationship with Tupac because it never would have worked.
Right. So I'm more of a Biggie fan anyway.
Have you got any rings? Do you take your watch off before lovemaking and stuff like that? Oh my God.
I can't remember. It hasn't really come up. I've only had this watch 6 years. the only memory I had between doing vodka... Are you going to press it? It's all happening in Swindon.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah,
fuck, do you want to do it again because you forgot to fade the thing up? No. The only memory I had between doing vodka shots in an old man pub near to our halls of residence and waking up the following morning was a few seconds where I was sitting astride my date, semi-clothed, in the pub, and he muttered the immortal words, "Easy, love, I've just had an operation." so, yeah, that's from Laura. She's put brackets, no surname, don't know who's listening. Oh. But it says her surname on the top.
I love that phrase, an old man pub.
Yeah. But you don't like old man pubs. There won't be old men pubs now. Because, you know, the thing about an old man pub is it's full of men smoking pipes and you can't smoke indoors now.
No, it's not.
You're not going to go into an old man pub and soak up the atmosphere of old men sucking on a Nicorette inhaler.
When have you ever seen an old man smoking a pipe recently?
In Brighton, I saw one just before I assaulted Rufus Wainwright. Old man stood outside a pub smoking a pipe. One of the best things I've ever seen.
Oh, we've got Rufus Wainwright, haven't we?
Hi, it's Rufus Wainwright, and you're listening to Russell Howard on Six Music.
Thank you very much, Rufus Wainwright. We're doing... we've had some poem titles in that are pretty cool. John,
let's go on.
Select one from these. Poem title for Russell, Pablo the Trumpet Playing Junkie.
Playing into your hands.
Yeah. Poem title for John, The Old Ham-Fisted Wordsmith.
Playing into my hands.
Yeah.
Maybe we should swap.
Somebody here said, are you sure Keats wrote a poem about Ozzy Ardiles? What about a spoof of it for the next week's poem?
Could write a poem about Ozzy.
We could do. I don't really fancy that. Here's another one. This is quite good. How about last night I broke my little toe as an opener for a poem in honour of my boyfriend Ben, who did just that and is very cross today.
All right, then.
We could both do that. Last night I broke my little toe.
All right, then. Let's do that.
Should we do that? So both poems have to start with that line.
Last night I broke my little toe.
Yes.
All right, then. Look at him already getting ideas. No. Little jokes.
Right. I had a horrible little joke in my head, but I won't say that. I'll do a poem with long words, and I'll put some classical music to it.
You do what you like,
I'll
mate.
Play into everyone's friggin' hands, rather than writing funny little ditties.
Shall we wrap up where people have woken up and move on? Because it's all getting a bit...
Where have the kooky people woken up?
Have you got any?
No.
Well, one that starts with a sentence that anyone who drinks knows you can never do. Many years ago, I went for a quick drink with my brother to a local cider house. That's never happening. Never go for a quick drink at a cider house.
I've
on your
been
arse.
To a cider house.
Oh, kill you. It would kill you.
Yeah.
several hours later, we emerged and decided to head off for the local KFC.
Yeah.
10 minutes later, I was busting for a leak, so my mate stopped the car down a country lane. I got out, slipped on the wet ground and fell into a ditch. Unable to move, I just decided to fall asleep. Awoken a few minutes later by my brother, who'd woken up in the back of the car, got out, decided to have a pee in the ditch. On hearing my gurgling in the dark, he slipped on the wet ground and landed on top of me. What amazed me was that considering what we looked and smelled like, we still got served in KFC, even though one of my mates threw up all over their window. And he ends that with, a cracking night all in all.
Fantastic. We had some KFC the other day, didn't we, John?
We did.
In Paddington Station, sat waiting for the last train.
Yes.
We must have looked quite the sight. Both tears on our eyes, eating chicken.
Edinburgh previews.
Well, John had just done a gig, and my brother had been to see it, and my brother rang me up and went, he's going to need some food. So I went and got him a lot of chicken and gave it to you and forced you to eat it.
Mm.
Lovely fun.
And a little cuddle, didn't we, on the airport?
We had to. I could tell you needed it. Well, because I cuddled you, and then afterwards you said, I've just told people I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
And I went, I've got some chicken.
Tricky end to a gig, that.
Yeah.
Where are you off? Well, I'm going to go home and cut myself. Although I'll probably just bottle it and draw a face on my stomach again.
But little did they know that I was in... What? A face on your stomach?
That's what I do when I get angry at myself. Instead of, like, I'm not going to self-harm, so I just write rude words on my stomach and then I draw a little face. And then you go to bed and forget you've done it. And you wake up in the morning, get in the shower, and it's like having a little friend. Morning. Oh, hello.
Oh, dear.
You've got a cracking six-pack. Well, thanks very much. I do a lot of crunches.
Oh, dear.
What's up with you?
Oh, so much.
What?
What are you doing writing rude words on your belly? How long's this been going on for? When you were little and you got cross, did you just write bum? And then gradually, as you get crosser, before you know it, you'd wrote something.
I want a loud felt tips when I was young. You can't write on yourself with wax crayons.
Oh, my God. When did you first do that? And when did
I can't remember. I don't catalogue it.
When did that get good to you? Oh, I wish I'd known this, flipping out, because I could have...
Fun you could have had.
Well, you're quite a light sleeper, but that would be quite good fun. Just to kind of creep in your bedroom, take all your clothes off, and just write lots of, like a sort of an X-rated memento in many ways. Just write rude words. And then you in the shower going, hey, I had a bloody good gig yesterday, what's going on? I can't have. I've put spunk farted on my belly. you know, that is a swear, but it was needed. Come on, down, Jip, down. We got some other things. I'm not the most...
Let's just move on, mate.
Yeah, but I'm not the least professional today.
Well done. Well, there's still time, though, to be honest. An hour and 15 minutes, and you're going to want another drink.
That's a fair point.
I haven't got my 11sies out yet.
Oh, dear.
Oh, it's snack time. Don't you worry about it.
Okay.
I'm looking after you
Nobody's
today.
Nobody's worried about it.
Do you want to know what I've got today?
No.
Look, I've got a bag full. It's Adam's last day, so I thought, let's not muck about.
Yeah.
Toffee crisps.
Lovely.
You know, that's a branded good.
Right.
Viscounts. How long since you had a Viscount? Unbelievable.
Only when I went to people's houses and didn't really like.
Wagon wheels. I don't like the ordinary ones, John.
Oh,
it's all right. These are the jammy ones. Back off.
Don't like them.
And drifters.
Oh, get in like a drifter. Sweet. We're going to do board games now.
Board games.
Do you want to describe what board games...
It's games you play when you're bored.
There you go. Very clever title, but we spell it...
B-R-E-D-A.
Uh-huh. So text us in 64046 or email russell.6music@bbc.co.uk with your little board games that go a little something like this. John?
This is a belter. It's a little bit Am I Normal, this as well, because it's sort of, you have to be of a certain mentality to play it.
Right.
Russell and John, says Matthew in Reading, I like to play the Poseidon game. Works best in large indoor areas such as hotel lobbies.
Yeah.
For this, I imagine the room is going to turn upside down and I have to work out the best strategy to avoid all the moving objects as they slide across the floor and then eventually start raining down from above. It's important not to find yourself trapped on what will eventually become the new ceiling, like the people in the casino did by clinging to the playing tables. cracking game. Bit meant I used to, when I was a kid, get a big mirror down off the wall and
hold
it.
So you could see
it.
The swear words backwards.
Yeah. Sometimes I would write them backwards. I got a bump on the head.
Nice.
Hold a mirror in front of me and walk around the house so it looks like you're walking on the ceiling. You can still, it's got to be quite a big mirror, but you hold it like a tray in front of you.
Yeah.
And you have to walk through the house and you like have to walk round the light fittings and stuff. It's really weird going upstairs because it looks like you're going up a flat thing, but you're actually going upstairs.
Like that bit in Labyrinth.
Messes with your mind, man.
I can well imagine. How old were you when you were doing this?
I don't know.
Have you ever Tippex, a rude word, on your belly?
Oh, health and safety, chemicals.
You don't go for that?
No,
What's your pen of choice? Like you haven't got a specific pen that you mark yourself
Uniball
with.
Roller.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, that's quite, that digs in though.
Yeah, you've got to feel the pain.
Yeah, I suppose you hate yourself for that stage.
Yeah.
If you're writing a cuss word on your elbow, you want to do it with real anger. Apparently that makes, I told you this before.
Don't tell this again.
Oh, okay.
This lie.
No,
go
no,
on.
No, somebody told me that.
This will be in the news quiz next week. Here, is this true or you read it in the papers?
No, no, somebody told me that's how you can test if you're a little bit touched upstairs, if you can lick your elbow. That's one
rubbish.
Of the
rubbish. Read yeah, out yeah. a board game.
Okay, that's one of the tests. They make you do it. Right. Hello, Russell and John. Your Sunday shows keep me sane during my A-level exam, so thanks for that. Not a problem. A board game I play is going through the alphabet and taking turns to say a film beginning with that letter. If you can't answer three times, you lose. Then there's silence again. Nice. That's from Matthew in South Wales. So it'll be E.G. Russell, A, Apocalypse Now, John,
Bruce Almighty.
Right.
Goes on like that.
Go on.
Apocalypse Now.
Now?
What?
Start from C.
I've got to do from C.
Yeah.
Carry On Camping.
Deuce Bigelow.
Deuce Bigelow.
Cracking film. Any film that starts with an old lady falling off a bus is a good film. You lose 1-0, yeah. My friends and I used to play cake face, says Matthew.
Oh, already I like it.
Pull a face that's a cake and everyone else has to guess what the
oh,
cake
brilliant.
Is.
Okay.
Battenberg's pretty easy, and I'll tell you now, my girlfriend does a very good Belgian bun.
Here we go. Here, I'm doing one. It's not great radio.
A burnt scone?
No, Bakewell tart. It's the cherry. That's the cherry in the middle. Ready? Here we go, another one.
Oh, what's that, a shoe bun?
Vanilla slice.
All right, what's that?
It's a Wallace and Gromit cake.
It's chocolate eclair.
Chocolate eclair. Not, this is not great radio. Texas and keep them going. Well, we've had one in. This is quite cool, John. Find your demon out.
Right.
I didn't know you could do that. Apparently you can do that on the internet.
Right.
If you go to Philip Pullman's...
I like Philip Pullman.
Oh, I'm a big fan of his work as
Let's
well.
Let's do it.
Hey, I'll tell you what, John. It's about time. Yeah, right. It's about time.
All good stuff.
which book? It's about time we met up with the Russ Bot and the John Bot.
Oh, exciting times.
What were they doing last week? I'll tell you what they were doing last week, John. They were in Paris, I do believe.
Yeah.
And John Bot had made Russ Bot dance in a... what
a kinky nightclub.
A kinky nightclub. And this week, they're going to meet a very strange old lady, I believe.
When two friends were torn apart by differing degrees of professional success, they each found solace in replicated robotic versions of the friends they left behind. For differing reasons, these robots became separated from their human owners. Now, united by a search to complete themselves, will our heroes find their way home? As we join Botwatch.
It's Wednesday night, you've come here for a good time, and I'm here to make sure you have one! Put your French hands together and welcome to the stage! He's magnetised, don't be afraid to throw coins! Monsieur Russell Howard! Well, that was smashing, erotic, moving. You put me in mind of a Randy Ginger Rogers. Hey, I'm halfway up the runway, if you get my meaning.
Boner?
Yes.
Well, it's all right for some. I feel right degraded. They've seen every nut and bolt I got. I can't go out there again. I should be crying all night as it is.
Oh, I wouldn't do that if I were you. I'll be hard as a northern kid's upbringing. Very good, that. Write that down, Sonia.
Botpad activated. Writing. As hard as a northern kid's upbringing.
Thank you, Sonia. Now, don't tell me you didn't enjoy that a little bit. And most important of all... €100. I'll take a finder's fee, obviously, a booker's fee, and a choreography.
Choreography? Oh, I suppose you mean all that stuff by the lake, then, is it?
Now I had the time of my life. I've apologised already for putting you in the corner. Now get on the log. Now what I like from an all-night tip parade is dancers who are going to show me what I've paid for and wiggle it in my face. If I have any respect for you at the end of this, you ain't doing it right. So that leaves you with €4.
€4. Cha-ching. Well, that's bonbon o'clock. I'm getting fizzers, bangers, snaggle bops. If they got any wizards, you better look out. I once ate 40 of them in a minute. I thought I was going to die, but then I didn't. And I says to myself, never again, Rossbot. Next day, 50 wizards.
Really? Well, I'm not drunk enough to pretend I give a shit about that anecdote. The good news just keeps on coming. You like sweeties, don't you, lad?
Yeah.
I've just got you a corporate that'll pay for you to buy Wizard Island outside.
Cripes almighty, is it for all these girls?
No f***ing way, lad. No money in the junior market. No, no, no. You'll be working for a Madame Rini. Bonjour! It's a private function back at a double bubble. I'll drive, lovebirds in the back. You touch, you pay, b***h. Chauffeur in the boot. I do not like his eyes. Well, I'll tell you what, that was a smashing journey. Good gear shift on them b***h old cars.
She had her finger up my arse.
Did she indeed? Well, that's €20 before we friggin' started.
Do sit down.
I don't know if I can.
I'm so glad you decided to come. It gets so lonely in this big house, you see. Harold died in 74, and since then I'm...
Hey! Grand Frank! The kid's in a dance, not listen to your s***y stories about the war. Now, it's showtime.
I don't suppose you have Moon River, do you?
F*** off! You can't get your d*** out to the classics. You feel like a weirdo in a museum. Now this... Oh, this is guaranteed, oh yeah, to tease the meat out.
Feeling it, aren't you? I'm feeling it. It's in me. Must be in you. Horny. I'm horny. You're Andy, old baby. Like, hey, I tell you all, let me. Oh, are you there?
Will you please shut the f*** up? I'm not paying to hear your bull, you shiny little f*** sucker. Cheeky f***. I will not be spoken to like that in her own home.
What have you done?
Hey, you didn't think I was going to make you go through with it, did you, lad? No way, pal. She has 40 winks, more like 90, tell the truth. That'll kill a f***ing rhino. We get busy cleaning the joint out. Fill your sack up, son. Not like that. Now, I say we bed down here for the night. She ain't waking up. There's a nursery through that door just right for you.
I ain't ready for a bed yet.
Come on, lad, it's time for Bobos. Let Daddy have a drink in peace and quiet, and I'll come and tuck you up in a bit.
Hell no, I won't go. Hell no, I won't go. Hell no, I won't go.
Oh, for f***.
Hell no, I won't go.
Do you know what, Sonia? Hell sometimes no, I wish the goblins would come and take him away.
Rustpot?
Oh, Shagpile. Sonia, something classic, but kind of upbeat, indicating the start of a journey in many ways.
Activating Gene Pitney.
Now, before that, we were doing our demons, weren't we? I start clapping.
You clap right? A lot, yeah. It's a sort of link. Sort of, let's do this.
Yeah, I can't help it. It's quite a sort of dad.
I'll get you some gloves or some muffs to wear on your hands.
Gloves or muffs?
What does that mean, muffs? What are they, mittens?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Hey, I need it. My friend's very loud at clapping. Come here.
My friend's got the clap. Can I borrow this? So, what are we doing, Russell?
Well, my friend, we're doing our demons. We found the website. It's thegoldencompassmovie.com, and you can find out your demon. And we're both on question 15.
All right.
So,
I don't know about this one. When you've done something well, you keep it to yourself.
So there I was in my local supermarket.
What?
A long time ago.
Oh, Jesus. Flipping heck. I pressed the wrong buttons. That's lucky, that, because that's... one of those sketches.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
An old lady being very racist.
Yes.
I'm putting
when you've done something well, you keep it to yourself. I'm putting neutral.
Yeah, I'm going neutral as well.
You always stick to the plan.
Strongly disagree.
Strongly agree.
You strongly agree?
Of course I do.
I strongly disagree.
Usually get your own way. Disagree.
You usually get your own way. I agree.
Chris Miles will not return my emails.
You can't avoid fate.
Oh.
That's an interesting one.
Disagree.
It depends what you... You know, I'm going neutral on that.
Yeah. You don't say much, but when you do, people listen. Well,
that's false for me.
You say a lot, so yeah. That's you straight out.
Absolutely.
I'm sticking neutral there.
Okay.
I always avoid strangers. What? Strongly agree. Well, that is basic guidance.
Well, you say that, but then you're a stand-up comedian who seeks strangers to talk to them every night. So
I talk at them. I don't go up to them.
They're strangers,
talk to them.
Though.
I've clicked it, mate. My demon has been chosen.
Well, that's absolute nonsense. I strongly avoid strangers. Strongly disagree.
Ah!
Hang on. Who've you got? Wait. Right, let's go for yours. What's yours first?
Amantha.
Right. Amantha?
Yeah.
Right.
My profile reveals that I am solitary,
yep.
Modest,
yep.
Assertive,
yep.
Shy,
oh.
And dependable. You can't really be assertive and shy,
oh,
but
this
I'll go
has
with
been
it.
Fixed. This is clearly...
You are therefore matched with the lion demon.
Well, mine has been fixed.
What have you got, a monkey?
I've got a monkey. apparently, my profile reveals that... What have you got? What is yours?
It's a lion.
You've got a lion?
Damn right I have.
Excellent.
You better look out. Your that's, monkey's getting it.
That's what... What?
A fight.
That's what Azrael's got, isn't it? No, he's got a eagle, hasn't he? An eagle or a lion. Who's got a lion?
Panther. Snow leopard.
He's got a snow leopard. Yes, so not very far away.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. That's yeah. I've got... mine's called... Varian. He's one of the 4,396 chimp demons within the total demon population. She's a chick. It reveals that I'm modest, spontaneous, solitary... What? Inquisitive and outgoing... I'm therefore matched with a chimpanzee demon.
Well, you can't argue with the facts, can you? I've got a lion, you've got a monkey.
Can't believe that that you've got a lion.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of it.
What's his name again?
Amantha.
Amantha.
And it's even got like a northern name. Have you met Amantha?
Yeah.
That's short for Samantha.
Rah, I'll do.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you what, it'll be the only lion...
Cracking mane on it.
It'll be the only lion in the city of Chittagatsi that'll be wearing slippers.
I did notice, though, that my lion had a mane, and I understood that female lions don't have manes.
Oh, hello. What did you put to male and female?
I put male, but I'll check. Yeah, no, male.
Well, no, well...
I put male. It says it's a female demon, but she comes up with a mane.
Oh, really?
Perhaps she's got issues.
It's like my old football manager's dog, Patches.
It
used to wee both ways.
Wee both ways.
Yeah, it was a lady dog, but it would sometimes cock its leg.
Right.
And then sometimes wee normally.
Right.
So you've got a sexually confused lion.
A transgender lion.
Yeah, which slightly takes away from the
Anthony and the Johnsons.
Yes, very much. The unfortunate thing is my demon's going to ride on your demon's back.
No, it's not. Demons can't touch, can they? Isn't that the whole point of the box?
Ours will be able to touch.
Are ours touching? That's a pretty serious statement you're making there.
Well, my what's going to happen?
If your demon's riding my demon, I want to know about it.
I say touch. There's every chance that Varian will put his finger up your lion's ass. If I know my demon, and believe you me, I do.
Well, there's a very good chance that Varian won't have fingers very much longer.
Yeah, but
you're gonna have to feed him his Cocoa Pops in the morning.
The annoying
tricky though, isn't it? Because they change. That's the whole point of them. I'm not entirely sure I agree with that.
No, but that's what they end up as. So it might.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You're gonna end up when they can't move again. You're gonna end up with a lion.
The fact that I've got a lion means I'm pretty pathetic human, though, doesn't it? Because your demon's supposed to balance out your personality.
Yeah, but it still means you get to hang out with a lion. Imagine that. You're never gonna get mugged or anything.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have kids coming up to me going, does he play with his own... No.
I'll probably get mugged by my own demon. It'll probably lose so much respect for me that it'll just steal my stuff. I'll have an abusive relationship with my demon.
Yeah, but then I'll have the joy of looking out every morning to see my demon touching itself on a tire.
Yeah, and flinging its excrement at you. Morning. You started it, Russell. Well, I had a drink.
Come here, Varian. I tell you what, let's have some fanners and go around his house. John, can we listen to more Rufus Wainwright? Why aren't you a manly lion? you might have a gay lion, John, but I got a bloody whippet. What use is that against an army of armoured polar bears? I'm less impressed with Remus. That's from Alice. That's quite funny.
Useful at the races, though.
Yeah, but that's not really going to help you when you're in, you're trying to essentially defeat the powers of God.
Someone says my demon is Nithrius and Ermine.
Oh, that's rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah, handy if you need a coat. Am I doing this link then?
No. I thought you had an email you were reading.
Yeah, is that the one? Is this questions, lots of questions?
Yeah,
I'm reading out. Good morning, John and Russell. I have just finished the third year of my photography course at art school.
Yeah.
Just bragging, because I dropped out after the first year.
Yeah.
And I've started thinking about interesting topics for my final year. One idea I came up with was to consider the sliding doors moments in life. Not the great big decisions or turning points in life, but little regrets or a strange string of events that could have made your life quite different. Like a personal butterfly effect, I suppose. One of my friend's biggest regret is that a man once desperately tried to speak to her as she got off a bus. He was really trying to get her attention, but she didn't stop, and years later she wonders what he was trying to tell her. Do you have any little regrets like that?
Do I?
Yeah.
Yeah, thousands.
Go on.
I don't know. You know.
He was probably just trying to tell her that, like, a knickers had fallen down or something like that, or she dropped her bus pass.
But I've done stuff about that in stand-up. You do fall in love about 5 times per journey. It's horrific. Trains are magical places that you just kind of, because you've got so much time to sit and think, and you give, and I know you do this, you give, and how many times have you come in and go, met my wife the other day, on the tube, met her, had a look at her, do you talk to her? No, you never do.
You just glance at him, because then you follow him into a bar or something, and you hear him order a drink, and they go, oh, I didn't think you'd talk like that. Wow. Out of the nostrils, very interesting.
Well. Come on, Amore, we'll go back to us. We'll have a chinzana. A roar.
I had a white Russian last night when I got in. Oh, magic juice.
But it would be nice, though, wouldn't it? You know, if that would be quite nice if you could just pod off and split off and actually talk to all these people that you have sort of feelings for.
No, that'd be rubbish, because you'd find out what they were thinking. The worst thing about those is that you're sat there staring at them and they're thinking, I wish that man would stop staring at me. He's got a pointy nose, looks like an arrow that he's about to fire into my face.
No,
that's what they're thinking.
No, they'd be sat there going, oh, he looks lovely.
Because inevitably...
He's got a lovely little lion demon look.
Inevitably, they...
Oh, that little lion demon's doing a Rubik's Cube.
They start looking back at you.
I did it right again, John.
And you think, oh, she's looking at me as well. But she's thinking, I can't get a signal on the tube and I need to phone the police because he's going to follow me.
No way. Yeah. What is this obsession with you that you think you look a little bit like that killer?
Well, they keep following me, the police. Someone's phoning them. Yeah, I'm knocking at my door. They didn't just turn up free will.
Good news from Swindon.
Oh, it's all happening in Swindon.
Emma Bull has emailed in.
Yeah, she's Emma before. Hello, Emma.
Emma, yeah. I assume Bull's her surname, not a nickname. Otherwise, this email may be a lie.
Slap.
Dear Russell and John, I also spent much of my childhood experiencing the upside-down version of my house revealed to me in a handheld mirror. I loved the sense of disorientation and made exaggerated steps over the tops of the door frames. I used to do that because there's no door frame there.
See?
But in your world,
but that's what I'm saying. Imagine if you were opposite Emma,
yeah,
and you're both on the tube holding your mirrors,
yeah,
looking at the world in mirror form, whatever you do,
yeah,
maybe in a Viscount each,
yeah,
and you look up, you see each other, you both feel that tingle, and then no, don't do it. I'm trying to make a lovely moment. I'm trying to make you meet someone who's equally as touched and as special as you. Imagine if you had the courage to put, you know, your lion down to one side.
How small's my lion?
Don't touch there, John. You've messed my doilies up. And then I was doing a doily collection, John. Later on.
Why does he talk like this?
We'll play Twister again, because, you know, anyways.
Has he got glasses on?
Yes.
I'm picturing him with glasses on.
He's got
on
glasses
now.
And a tie.
Right.
John.
Not now, Amara.
Oh, I'm so cold. You wander over to her and you go,
hey, Emma, you're right.
Oh, not that you know her name yet. That'd be weird. Don't do that. That'll really freak her out.
You're Emma, aren't you?
Yeah. I like those knickers you wear.
But imagine if you had a chat and you know, on the tube and you met and you podded off and you know. And you got married and it was lovely and it was wonderful and I could be your best
friend.
Yeah,
that's rubbish. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
Because you've never given yourself the chance.
No, it's because what really happens is you go up and you go, all right, and she goes, get away, in the face, screaming, I can't see.
No.
Yeah, well, you've seen too much already. Kick, down. Where did you get that knife? Damn.
What are you talking about?
Well, because I went over to her and said, you want to look at my lion? Hello, boys.
Hello.
What does John think of Borders dark chocolate ginger biscuits? Never had them. What does Russell think of Wambars?
Oh, fantastic. That and Teen Wolf, magic day.
Right.
What we're going to do this week is we're going to travel around the tube in London looking for a wife.
I'm away this week.
Right, we won't do that then. I'll tell you what, John. We get some fabulous texts sent in, don't we?
Go on.
It's really, you know, sometimes we ask questions, you know. For example, earlier on we asked about, you know, what kind of poems should we write for next week, and people, you know, text in a few ideas. This has just randomly arrived from Alan Newbury. just from nowhere. I don't think we've even mentioned dogs in any way.
No.
And he's just sent in this text. My mum had a dog that, when constipated, would balance on its front paws to help ease it out. It was its only redeeming feature.
Oh,
how bizarre is that?
I had a dream about my dog.
But he's obviously thought to himself, oh, I hated that. Oh, no, I did quite like it. That was quite nice. But, you know, I want to share this with the world. So he's just randomly texted us in.
I had a dream about Bilbo last night.
Oh, how is the fat thing?
Dead.
Oh.
But not in my head. He had a cracking little cuddle. Hello, guys. Callum's got back in.
Wait.
He wasn't very affectionate dog, Bilbo. He liked his space. But in dreams, somehow, he's always touchy-feely.
Oh, did he lick the words muff diver off your belly? Sorry, that's rude.
Callum's emailed in. I forgot to mention that I saw the biggest hand dryer I've ever seen yesterday. It was actually 5 foot tall. I took a picture that I'll send to the show when I can.
Really?
Also, as you know, run my own...
How does he know it was a hand dryer?
I assume he dried his hands in it.
5 foot tall hand dryer?
I assume it wasn't just a bloke.
It was an old man dressed in tinfoil blowing on him. He's been had.
Right, well, it's a good service if you can find somewhere that offers it.
I'm a hand dryer, by the way. You're that mad bloke. No, I'm a hand dryer.
They call me the Dyson Airblade, you know.
Look at that.
Ken.
Ken, nice.
As you know, he says, I run my own little record label.
Yes.
For some daft reason, I forgot to ask if I could mention the tour my band has coming up. Could you give them a wee plug?
Absolutely.
Well, I say you shouldn't be weeing in your sink. And if you are, probably best it goes down the plug hole.
Lovely.
They're called 10 Easy Wishes, and they're playing Aberdeen tomorrow. And then they're off to Dundee.
John, you know what happens when we do Scottish voices? We get a lot of angry texts in. But do continue, it's fine.
Edinburgh.
Nee bother, pal.
Look out, Edinburgh, and then down to Blackpool. That's not so nice. Macclesfield, Chelmsford, then maybe Liverpool, Leeds and Sheffield. We'll have a MySpace page. Right.
We've had a text in that says, I'm going to kill you, from someone in Kilmarnock. Never mind, it's time for the news. But before we go to the news, pop back to that text, because there was something about the tube. And John, it's from Deanne in Leeds. John, if I saw you on the tube, I reckon be somewhat starstruck. Do you think they maybe some of the girls... What? She hasn't written that right. Do you think that there will be maybe some girls who feel the same? They just don't want to look silly. Fair point.
I think if you can't approach a man crying while eating a Lion bar and writing on himself, then you can't approach anyone.
You don't do it on the tube, though, do you?
I don't do it on the tube, no.
But you think about doing it on the tube?
Think about a lot of things on the tube. I don't like the tube. Such an ill-elegant way to travel. Most depressing thing in the world, an old woman on the tube.
What, do you want to drag by a swan?
Well, you shouldn't get to an age where you have to travel in the sewer, side-saddle with
rats.
Well,
let's do that. Let's drag old ladies around. Now, I noticed you're just waggling a picture of a dog in.
Yeah, I had a letter off Shane this week.
Yep.
Shane, my dog that I sponsor, that you don't think is real. Have a look at that. I think you'll find that is a picture of a real dog.
Yeah, give us it here. Let me read it. It's a little... Shane has sent John a message here that says, hooray for summer. And
I love the summer, Shane.
Well, he clearly does.
He's a summer dog.
Shane, in my eyes, is a fat man who lives in East London, who sends John photos of a dog saying, oh, I'm hungry. Couldn't give us £10, could you? And John goes, dear Shane. Oh, no, he's written to you, know. Oh, my God.
He's got good handwriting.
Hasn't he just?
Poor writing.
And he's put, what's lovely, he's put a paw mark and a kiss. That's quite nice.
Yeah, well, we're getting on.
He's put, I, John, Shane here.
All right, Shane.
It's summer again, one of my favourite times of year. Yeah. Lovely long days to play, and even better, crunchy ice cubes in my water to keep me cool.
Yeah, he loves that.
Christ, upper class. Listen to him. We could have some ice cubes in my water, could we? Christ, he doesn't need sponsoring, he's putting down. I'm on about the fat man.
I'm not going to lie to you, I've ordered you a fun pack from Dogs Trust, so you can expect that through your letterbox sometime this week.
No way.
You better sponsor a dog, mate, otherwise you're against the dogs.
I've got three dogs.
And me and our man thrill get
round
there.
Oh, let's go round there. Actually, no, let's stay in. I've got some port. I've been making a special effort to keep... Oh, my flipping Lord. No dogs talk like this. I've been making a special effort to keep
trim.
To keep trim. But I don't really have a routine, John. I just never stop running around. A bit like me. Plus, I always go for the low-calorie treats. They're just as tasty. He's the dullest dog in the world.
Oh, he can write, man.
Ice cubes, please. And could I have some... let me have an open. Yeah, I'll just have open today.
You have a skinny mochaccino?
Yeah. Whoa. He's on the cream. Christ, I'm a dog. we've got everything we could possibly need here, which means I don't have to go in the boring old car anymore. Ooh, the car, that's when he used to get beaten by his old owner. And that, for being so fancy, just have a pasty. I don't like pasties. And
read the letter.
And that means we get to play for longer. I usually charge out into the field next to the centre and have a good sniff around, followed by a knockabout with the ball on a rope. I thought you'd like to know about our open day, John. Oh, we're on June the 24th. There'll be loads to see and do. Clive Anderson is judging the dog show. He knows about celebrities.
Clive's your mate.
He's our mate. Clive Anderson is judging the dog show. There will even be pigs, sheep, donkey and geese attending.
You like donkeys?
I do.
And pigs?
I do.
Not a fan of sheep, though. No, I'm not. They scare you.
And not to mention activities like face painting, I'm there, doggy games. I might even break my diet for a sausage from the barbecue. Oh, God, I hate Shane so much.
Read the last bit, though.
What's that, Shane? But you're on a diet, Shane. All right, just the one then, Shane, you dull dog.
He knows too much about me.
He says
he's had to put a little caveat at the end.
It'll be great fun, so why not come along? Thank you again for choosing me as your special friend. Love and licks, Shane.
Love and licks.
P.S. John, if you come to visit me, I'm sorry, you won't be able to touch me, as I'm too nervous of people I don't know. And don't forget, you can always see more pictures of me at www.doggysnotofsnaps.com. Oh,
Christ. I'm not allowed to touch him. It's like if I'd have known that, I'd have kept my money.
John, that's a letter from a dog lap dance. That's what it is. You can look at them, but you can't touch.
Yeah, I'll take a lap dance from a dog.
Let's go. That'd be fun, actually, wouldn't it?
Dogs are better than people.
Interesting point. Well, should we go to that?
Yep. What happened there? Did you see the tennis this week? There's a cracking bit where
I don't think anyone's going to gloss over what you did before you said that. What was that?
That was the other point. There was a bit where the umpire went to say juice, and he must have got a bit of phlegm caught, and he went, juice.
Oh, lovely.
Really funny it was.
Now, we've had an email in. This is going to break you.
Oh, that's what I need now. It's a good kick in the balls.
It's from... You've probably written that on your stomach. We've got an email here. Always lifted his stomach up just to check. Hi, John.
White boxes today.
Hi, John. Any particular reason?
Yeah, I'm not really a fan of the white boxer, but...
That's dangerous for you, because you're having an all-day meat session, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
There's every chance they're going
to
be soiled.
Big time, the Wellington. If you have to order ale by the pump number, then that is a good pub.
Is that right?
Good news from Swindon.
Oh, it's all happening in Swindon.
Birmingham, mate.
Oh, I'm travelling for
good news from Birmingham.
Travelling for the mead. Hi, John. I got the same letter, she says. She says, they must share the same secretary, Shane and Blagger.
He can't write letters for everyone.
Mine's slightly different because my dog is called Blagger. He tells me I can't visit him on their open day because he doesn't like the limelight.
Blagger sounds like a bottler.
The photographer was very impressed with him because he kept still for a short amount of time. He was just pumped full of tranks. Annie looks after him. I guess she also helped him write his letter. He also gives me a kiss and a paw. We've both been had by this fat man.
He's not a fat man. Right, we're going next week. What? We're going to see Shane.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
You will eat your words, and then you will eat Shane's excrement.
That doesn't seem entirely fair.
No, that'll learn you.
Well...
You've got to learn a lesson.
What, by making me eat dog muck?
Yeah.
That's no... Well, I'm not going to learn a lesson. That's just going to get me angry. I can't meet Clive.
Hungry?
Angry, I said. I can't smile at Clive. You're right, Rush? Hey? You don't want to know. Have you learned a life lesson? I'm afraid I have.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that again.
We've all learned that lesson.
I'm not doing it again. It's not the 80s, mate. When is this? Where does it take place? We could all meet up.
He lives in Hammersmith.
Who does? Shane. Right. And where's his dog parade?
We've missed the dog parade.
June the 24th?
Yeah.
Well, why have we only just read it out?
Because it came during the week.
Why didn't we go?
It's gone in my filing. I give it to Susie to sort out while I'm at the trade fair.
Yeah.
And then I get back and she gives me my relevant post.
And you're still not willing to accept that this is clearly a lie?
It's a real dog. It is a real dog.
We're going to need evidence. I'm going to need to touch this dog, but apparently I can't.
Next week, pictures of me, you and Shane on the website.
Okay, fair enough. A challenge. Well, we've got to do... That's a lot of things we've got to do. We've got to do the poems.
Right. Last night I broke my little toe.
That's going to be that. Next week we're doing another news quiz, which you're currently losing 1-0.
No.
Correct. And what else we got to do?
Transporter.
And the Transporter.
100% Belter. Yeah. Board games.
You can text in 64046, email russell.6music@bbc.co.uk with your Transporter, the song you'd like for next week that will transform you to any happy or sad moment of your life.
A couple of things to wrap up. A couple of emails about
podcasts. What a fun show it's been, John.
It's been a belter, hasn't it?
We've learned a lot.
When are your podcasts on the web? End of July, we'll start podcasting.
What we're going to do for the photo, we're going to be dressed up in the guise of our demons.
Oh, okay.
Me as a chimp, you as a tranny lion.
If you ask me, calling yourselves a podcast princess sounds a bit wet. Get your geek on and embrace the tech world. So we need a new name than Podcast Princes. I'm not happy with it either. And we'll wrap up Places You've Woken Up When You Were Drunk,
okay,
which we
yeah.
started texting about for no apparent reason.
Yeah, I don't know why we did that.
Matt, so... I once woke up in sheltered housing flat for disabled people after a night out on the lash. Sounds like this is going to be a horrible, tragic story. He's got lashed up, walking home, he's heard someone shouting for help. Guy in an electric wheelchair where the battery's gone flat, he's pushed him all the way home.
Ooh.
By the time they got there, of course, he's knackered, so he sat down on the bed and fallen asleep. Next thing I know, I'm waking up the next morning still on his bed, and the poor guy's still in his wheelchair and looking extremely uncomfortable. Needless to say, I left hastily.
That's beautiful.
A good deed that turned sour.
Yeah, and I believe in that email, he'd been mugged the day before.
He got mugged in Brixton.
So, you know...
Who'd have thought it?
Nice.
I was in the Wetherspoons in Brixton this week, and if you can't even sit in a Wetherspoons in Brixton without getting attacked by three drunks, then when can you?
Well, that's a fair point, John. It's a nice way to end the show. you and...
our last show.
You and our mother are off. Where are you going?
It's your mum's birthday, isn't it? Do you not need to say happy birthday?
No, it's her birthday next week.
All right.
Taking her out. I was... no, I can't really say.
No, don't spoil it.
Well, no, I'm not going to spoil it. You
Let's
spoil
do it.
It
Let's go.
Mention it.
We've got to go and catch Shane. He's off on his diet.
Yeah, he's going to be livid when he finds you're lying. This is Skin Deep and the Stranglers. See ya. BBC Six Music.